Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition, available April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to a TVO podcast.
Welcome to On Docs, a podcast about documentaries and the stories they tell. I'm Colin Ellis.
And I'm Nam Kiwanuka.
Nam, where have you been?
Well, a girl's been busy.
Can you finally tell us what this secret project of yours is?
Yeah, so I've been working on a show called The Thread, and it's going to be coming out next month in January. It's not really a show. It's kind of like we're taking like a month to delve into one issue, one problem, and then we're trying to find solutions to that problem because we just live in a world where there's so many problems and we rarely hear about solutions. And it's going to be focusing on what people care about in the province of Ontario. And the cool thing is that we're using AI technology, Polly. Erin Kelly has been on the agenda a few times, and Polly, her AI, is going to be a big part of the show. So I'm excited for it.
She's been on our show, too. This is exciting. I'm really looking forward to checking it out.
Thanks.
Well, today we're going to be talking about a Netflix documentary called Blood Brothers, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali. Let's hear a clip.
Destiny can take your best friend as an instrument to cause you harm and your worst enemy to do you good.
Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X.
They define a whole generation to be themselves and be bold.
It's time for you and me to fight for ourselves.
There were two different worlds, but it was destiny that they would meet. 3 short years that they would spend in their lives.
All right, Nam, tell us why you wanted to talk about this doc.
So I should mention that the documentary, it's inspired by a book called Blood Brothers, The Fatal Friendship Between Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. And it was written by Randy Roberts and Johnny Smith, and they both appear in this film. The reason why I thought it might be a good one for us to watch is because I grew up in London, Ontario, and I grew up during a time when London was a very homogenous city. And it was really hard trying to figure out who I was, or because the world saw me in one way. And I used to listen to a lot of rock and roll music, and I won't say the band, but I was in love with this band, and the lead singer was so dreamy. And then one time they said something that was super racist, and it just kind of like, it just wounded me. A teenage girl and her music are very, you know, were very connected. But I just felt kind of shunned. So somehow I ended up listening to rap music because I think I saw people that looked like me. And the music at the time was very much about empowerment. And a lot of the rappers would talk about Malcolm X. And I've never learned about Malcolm X in school. So I found his autobiography, which was written in with the help of Alex Haley. And I just, I really felt connected to Malcolm X. And then Muhammad Ali, I've been a huge fan of his. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I really am. boxing, I think, is one of those sports that's really hard for me to watch. But I really admired the fact that he, at a time when it must have been so hard to stand by your morals and your values, he said that he wasn't going to fight in the Vietnam War. And to think about how much that cost him, even from a young age, I just thought, wow, you know, not all adults are bad. Because as a kid, you're just like, what are these grown-ups doing?
And parents just don't understand.
Your parents just don't understand. So I always thought that, wow, Muhammad Ali is, you know, this is a really like someone that you can really admire. I kind of heard about their friendship, but I didn't know very much about it. So when I saw that the documentary was coming out, I thought it might be something to watch. And that's why I pitched it.
Yeah, no, it's a good pick, actually. I also was, you know, when I was younger, kind of discovering my blackness, picked up the autobiography of Malcolm X. Read subsequent books about him. And then with Muhammad Ali, I've seen like tons of documentaries. I've watched the Thrill in Manila fight. Just an incredible fight between him and Joe Frazier. And, you know, the other thing, too, is this film, it came out a few months ago, but there's been some news recently about Malcolm X that I should just mention off the top. You know, the two of the men who were convicted of assassinating him were actually exonerated, you know, years after they had
decades.
Been convicted.
Decades,
after his assassination, which is still kind of shrouded in mystery. And we still don't really know. Well, there was one guy who was definitely guilty, but we still don't really know who conspired to kill him.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up because I think the exoneration, because it was three people were convicted, and one of them always said that I did it, those two didn't.
Right.
So the other two were exonerated in mid-November, and around the same time, one of Malcolm X's daughters died, Malaika Shabazz, and so... You know, when people talk about, like you said, people don't really know, still don't know what exactly happened. If you're one of those people that's like, oh, this conspiracy, you might think that, oh, wow, there's a bigger story to it. But one of the reasons why this case was reviewed was because one of the cops, an undercover cop, apparently on his deathbed wrote this information and said, you know, this is what happened and these people are not guilty.
Yeah, no, there's actually another series on Netflix, a documentary series called Who Killed Malcolm X, that really looks into the case in depth and actually identifies someone who is likely to have done it. So I think people should check that out if they're interested in learning more about the assassination. But we should talk about the documentary, of course, and just what it's about. And I mean, I'll just kind of go through the plot a little bit. It's basically showing the friendship and falling out between Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. And it goes through the beats of their lives, which many people probably know if they've seen Malcolm X, the movie starring Denzel Washington, or if they've seen Ali starring Will Smith. You know, Malcolm, you know, just if people are interested, he was the son of parents who were very influenced by Marcus Garvey.
Earl, his father, and Louise, his mother, were followers of the Marcus Garvey movement.
My father's organization sought to link Africans in Africa, in the Caribbean, in the United States. My father felt that instead of Africans being servile, they must become self-reliant.
He was for a time a criminal and spent some time in prison. He joined the Nation of Islam and became a spokesman for the Nation of Islam and its leader, Elijah Muhammad. And Muhammad Ali himself was actually born Cassius Clay, raised in Louisville, Kentucky. He went to the Rome Olympics in 1960. He went on to fight Sonny Liston in this famous heavyweight championship, and he won. And they're also, you know, coming out at around a time of the civil rights movement, and black consciousness is growing, and there's this greater belief in black self-reliance, and Garveyism, Marcus Garvey is very influential. Eventually, they're driven apart really sadly by, you know, there's a lot of reasons, I think. But Malcolm's split from the Nation of Islam over differences he had with Elijah Muhammad over the direction of the movement and as well as Elijah Muhammad's infidelities really sort of split the two. And
I don't know if you can call them the infidelities, because one of the, not to interrupt you, but like one of the interesting things about watching this documentary is there's so much from these men, from their mouths, right? Mm-hmm. That is just so shocking. And Malcolm X in the documentary says,
but the real reason is that Elijah Muhammad, the head of the movement, is the father of eight children by six different teenage girls who were his private personal secretary.
And that was shocking to me, because in the past, I've always heard that it was because of, you know, they didn't see eye to eye. Like when President Kennedy was assassinated, apparently Elijah Muhammad said, no one from the Nation of Islam releases a statement. And then Malcolm X made that, you know, that infamous comment about the chickens coming home to roost, where he was kind of gloating that President Kennedy had been assassinated. So I thought that was the reason why they split, because Elijah Muhammad disavowed Malcolm's statement, and Malcolm X was suspended from the Nation of Islam. So to hear Malcolm X say that from his mouth, it was shocking. And there's a lot of shocking moments in the documentary, the things that come out of both men's mouths. Mm-hmm. But, you know, their friendship was, the way that it began, like, was bigger than just that friendship. Because during a time when Black people were, the way that they were presented, it was very... It was one way, right? And there was a lack of pride amongst the Black community. And one of the people that appears in the film, the academic Cornel West, he described Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali as two of the most freest Black men in the 20th century. But then he said that on the other hand, that was a cross to bear. And it was a tremendous cost to be free and a loving person during that time. So that stood out for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to talk about the interviews in a minute, but I should just, you know, mention, you know, this split between Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X. You know, obviously it I guess drove people into different camps, and the name Muhammad Ali came from Elijah Muhammad, mm-hmm. and he obviously sided with Elijah Muhammad and turned his back again on Malcolm X, which we can talk about a bit later. And then, sadly, Malcolm X was assassinated in 1965, and it was obviously just a horrible event that, you know, reverberates to this day, as we talked about earlier. But, you know, you mentioned Cornel West. He's one of the subjects interviewed in the film. There's Al Sharpton, who's obviously a famous civil rights leader. The son of Marcus Garvey, which I thought was really interesting, Julius Garvey, he's interviewed. And then I want to say gentleman's name correctly, and I may not, but I just, so apologies if I mispronounce it. Melchizedek Supreme Shabazz Allah, he's the universal high priest of the Nation of Islam, one earth in the universe. Amazing, amazing super when I saw that on the screen.
And the things that he said too, right?
It was very interesting to hear from him. He's a member of the Nation of Islam, and I thought that was a really interesting perspective.
And he was 84, but he does not look a day over 50. That just caught my eye.
Just great genes, great genes. The daughters of Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, respectively, are also interviewed. And so is the brother of Muhammad Ali. And I just Rahman thought those...
Ali. Yeah.
Yes, and I think those interviews really gave the film a lot of heart. What did you think? What stood out for you in those interviews?
I really loved hearing from the daughters. The documentary started with one of Malcolm X's daughters talking about how Muhammad Ali, well, at the time when they met, his name was Cassius Clay, how Cassius Clay and Malcolm X were destined to meet, and the brotherhood that developed with them. And also one thing that stood out for me too towards the end of the documentary was... after at Muhammad Ali's memorial in 2016, one of Malcolm X's daughters was speaking at the memorial, and she said,
"Having Muhammad Ali in my life somehow sustained my dad's breath for me just a little while longer, 51 years longer, until now."
You know, I'm an emotional person, but when I saw that, it just made me cry, because to see the things that developed within Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, and how important these men were to their daughters, and how those two families stayed connected. Because at one point, Muhammad Ali reached out to Malcolm X's family to make sure that they were taken care of and that they were okay. So beyond the politics, beyond the legacies, these two men were brothers, and that relationship connected two families in a way that it's such a gift. And it was great to see that it was like a full circle moment, that the families were still connected even after all those tragedies. What about you?
What stood out for me, I think, well, it was interesting that to hear from Malcolm's daughter, because I mean, unfortunately, it's just awful that she never got to really know her dad, right? I mean, he died, I guess, when she was a little kid. And even like, you know, Betty Shabazz was pregnant with, I think, their youngest kids at the time of the assassination. So that was, you know, it was interesting to kind of hear from them. One thing I wanted to kind of bring up, though, is just, you know, when we're talking about this documentary, I think the thing that struck out for me is just that a lot of this is territory that I kind of have seen before. I've seen a lot of this footage. I've seen a lot of this chronicled in other films. I like I said, you know, I've read a lot of books about Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. And this relationship was sort of familiar to me. I think to anyone who wasn't too familiar, I think there might be some interesting things. But there was just a lot that I kind of already knew. And I sort of wanted to hear something a little different than maybe what had been talked about before, which we can get to kind of a bit later. But, you know, I mean, if you've seen Ali, for example, which is the Will Smith film, this relationship is chronicled very well in that movie. Mm-hmm. And also One Night in Miami, which came out earlier this year, same kind of
Regina
thing.
Regina King, directed by Regina King.
Yes, and this film shows that event, although, you know, it obviously can't tell us what really went on. And I thought, at least with Regina King's film, that it's kind of giving you a sense of what they might have talked about, which I think, you know, sometimes, like, you know, documentary and feature films do different things. And I thought, in that case, I think it did a more interesting job of showing what these men could have been talking about. But I mean, overall, I think, you know, it's an important film. I think we have a slew of, you know, documentaries about the royal family. So I'm fine with seeing a slew of documentaries about Malcolm X, because I think there's a lot of material to mine.
I'm surprised. I loved it. I thought that, you know, there was so much, like I said at the beginning, like hearing them speak. For example, I think both Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, their image has changed over the years. Some of the things that when you think of Malcolm X, a lot of people this is image of this, you know, person who's militant, talking about white devils, and a person that was against integration and advocated for segregation. And Muhammad Ali, this person who's, you know, Muhammad Ali's image has been like some of the things that he said in the past. And I don't want to misquote because I don't have it written down. I think if he was to say it now, people might be like, what? One of the things that kind of took my breath away watching it, because I'm a huge fan of Muhammad Ali. And I wrote this out. This was after Malcolm X was assassinated, maybe a month after he had been killed. And Muhammad Ali said this: Malcolm X or anybody else who attacks or talks about attacking Elijah Muhammad will die.
Yeah.
I mean, Muhammad Ali, when you think of Muhammad Ali, you think about this person who's smiling, people love him, and he's got this such a, you know, an image of a person who a lot of people admire. But when you hear him say those words, it's like a month after a man that was your friend who brought you into the Nation of Islam. Muhammad Ali was a Muslim before he met Malcolm, but Malcolm brought him into the Nation of Islam. And you vacationed together, your family spent time together. And then a month after he died, after he was murdered, you would say that. It just sounds so cold. That didn't surprise you?
It surprised me only. Well, no, it didn't surprise me. Here's why. Because, again, I had seen this covered in other films and in books as well. So that didn't surprise me. I think, you know, the point that was made about Muhammad Ali being a controversial person and the image that people had of him after the Atlanta Summer Olympics and the When We Were Kings documentary, I think, you know, we kind of, I guess, there was a bit of a hagiography, I can never pronounce that word, of Muhammad Ali that happened. Then we kind of forgot about those troubling statements he made about Malcolm X. And, you know, there's another documentary that I want to bring up later, which is called Thrill in Manila, which looks at the Joe Frazier rivalry he had and some of the horrible things he said about Joe Frazier at the time that were completely unjustified. I think this film delves into Muhammad Ali's contradictions a little bit. But again, I've seen that in other documentaries, and I guess that's why I think I was kind of hoping for, I don't know, I think I was just sort of hoping to see something else that maybe I hadn't seen in other films or books. But, you know, if you haven't seen either of those movies, Thrill in Manila or the Ali film, this is also, you know, a fine place to start in learning about either of them.
I think it's different hearing from the person's mouth, because the other thing that I was really surprised by was how it humanized Malcolm X. I think Cornel West at one point calls Malcolm X tender.
Yes.
And every time in the documentary, you see different people from the press trying to draw this wedge that's been created by Elijah Muhammad or other actors. He was asked, well, this is happening, and Muhammad said this, and Malcolm would pause and say, you know, I don't believe what I hear or read in the papers, in the press. And if he has anything to say to me, he'll say to me. Mm-hmm. So he seemed to be very thoughtful in his responses. And, you know, watching the scenes when they both traveled to Africa, I kept thinking, what if they had traveled there together? I think it was just a few months after the Sonny Liston fight where, you know, when Malcolm had built up the confidence in Muhammad Ali, like, you can do this, you can do this. And afterwards they celebrated and, you know, you mentioned one night in Miami and all these incredible civil rights leaders were celebrating after the fight. And then months later, these two brothers aren't talking anymore. Mm-hmm. And when they played Bob Marley's song, Redemption Song, and I just kept thinking, it just kind of tied everything together, right? Because they were talking about, like, that song is about emancipating yourself from mental slavery.
Yes.
And these two giants were on the continent together at the same time, but they were apart. And I could just imagine the scenes of, you know, imagine a Thrill in Manila, like both Malcolm and Muhammad Ali together. Like if they went to visited these different countries together, what an impact that would have made. And this idea of Pan-Africanism, it might be further along today because they were both after the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. But it would be decades, I guess, after Muhammad Ali took a pilgrimage to Mecca that he understood what he had done to Malcolm X.
Yeah.
And he, I think, understood why Malcolm distanced himself from Elijah Muhammad, but it was too late then.
You're kind of swaying me a little bit in a more positive direction of the film. I'm not saying it's a bad movie at all. I think people should definitely check it out. What I'm saying is, though, I guess, yeah, like I think the scene, you know, in Ghana where they, you know, Malcolm is shunned by Muhammad Ali. I had seen that before in the Ali film. I think one thing that, you know, came to mind just as you were talking about Muhammad Ali and his comment about Malcolm X and how, you know, people who insult Elijah Muhammad will die. I think, you know, one thing I think the film does, I think, pretty well is I think it puts both men into context. Mm-hmm. Because you have to understand, I mean, this is a 20-something-year-old man. He's very young. And he's, you know, found a father figure in Elijah Muhammad. And I think, you know, if it was someone who was, you know, insulting your leader, I think you might, you know, say things that you, you know, that are pretty harsh. And it's, you know, I think in fairness to Ali, they say that he deeply regretted it. And I don't think the film is demonizing him in any way. The other thing, too, that I made me think when you were talking about, you know, Malcolm X was talking about white devils when he talked about white people. I mean, some people could look at that at face value and think he was a racist. And he was called racist. He was, you know, the CBS did a documentary, I think, about Nation of Islam called The Hate That Hate Produced, something like that. I forget
with
the
Mike
exact
Wallace.
Title.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, but, you know, I think the film does do a good job of putting words like that into context, because that was just something you just didn't say out loud.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are complicated people. There, you mentioned Ali was in his 20s. Malcolm X at the time was in his 30s. And one of the things that the documentary revealed that I didn't know how Malcolm X's dad died and how young he was when his dad died. And so he also had that relationship with Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad was also like his father. I think there was a line, I think it was the gentleman's name that you mentioned earlier in the film. He says of Elijah Muhammad, he was the blood in our veins. And Malcolm X would be celebrated today for having turned his back against Elijah Muhammad if he did it for the reasons why he said, beyond what everybody says about infidelity. But for him to walk away, it must have been really difficult to do that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and after his, when Malcolm went to Mecca, after he took his pilgrimage to Mecca, when he came back, he said, I no longer subscribe to sweeping indictments of any one race. He learned. And you're right, there was a huge age difference. Muhammad Ali was young and impressionable. Malcolm X was a bit older. But I think Elijah Muhammad meant the same thing to both men. And, you know, not only did Malcolm X lose a father figure, he also lost a brother in Muhammad Ali. And it's hard not to imagine what could have been if that relationship had hadn't been broken. And again, going back to that whole conspiracy theory, some people
don't do it, Nam.
I mean, it's hard to talk about this stuff without, you know, mentioning it, because
I know.
They're like, well, maybe it wasn't the Nation of Islam. Maybe it wasn't Elijah Muhammad who created this wedge between the two men. Maybe it was the FBI. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. You know, it was like they were, again, after the same goal, but personal relation. I think if they just had a conversation,
yeah,
face to face, one on one, and Malcolm X tried to do that in Ghana, but also it was interesting to see how the first time around when Malcolm was on the outs with Elijah, how maybe he was trying to use Muhammad Ali to get back into the good graces of the Nation of Islam. And the documentary brings up the question, did he develop a relationship with then Cassius Clay because he saw something that he recognized in himself, or did he do it because he was trying to bring Cassius Clay into the nation, and with that, Malcolm X would get back into the good graces of Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah, but I think the doc does show that, you know, Malcolm inviting him to his house to meet his family.
Yeah.
And the joy, you can see the joy.
Yeah.
You can see the joy in their face. I think there was a strong affinity.
There was. There was.
I think both men had a strong affinity for each other. And it's just, I mean, you mentioned the kind of, you know, the what if possibilities of if these two men had together traveled Africa together, you know, spoken to other African leaders together, because I think Malcolm did introduce Muhammad Ali to a few African diplomats. I mean, the possibilities, it's the same as if, you know, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King had ever worked together, if they had been allowed the chance, if they hadn't been killed so young, just what could have happened. I mean, the what if, the potential, you know, possibilities of that, it'll make you mad thinking about it. But it is something that I did leave this film with a lot of questions about. And I think, you know, we kind of have to wrap up our conversation here. But I just, you know, I think one of the things that this doc made me think is, because there have been a lot of films and books about both Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. There are things, though, that I would love to see explored in either format.
Like what?
You know, well, I think I would love to know more about Malcolm X's relationship with Pan-Africanism. And he died, I think, a little too early before his, you know, politics really started, as his politics were really starting to change, I should say. And it would have just been really, it'd be really interesting to see sort of a film that kind of explores that, his political philosophy evolving. I think that's what I was, you know, what I'd like to see.
Yeah, that I would love to watch that. I think that there's so many, it just, this for me, it just, I just feel a lot of sadness. And it's not lost on me that Muhammad Ali spent the last few decades of his life not being able to communicate with people, well, verbally. And I would have loved to see maybe like a conversation about what happened. But again, you know, there's that saying, you can kill a man, but you can't kill an idea. And I think Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X, the life that they led, even the relationship, I think was about 3 years long, it made a huge impact. Just seeing these two bold and confident black men taking up space, and the things that they said at a time when you were supposed to be quiet, put your head down. You know, the documentary explores like the impact of Emmett Till's murder on Muhammad Ali. And it's not lost on me that in 2021, we're still having these conversations. A lot of the ideas that Malcolm X spoke about in the 60s are prevalent now. They were so important, these two men. I think they laid bricks for a foundation that for a house that's going to be built for years to come. And I think I learned a lot from this documentary. And I think it's a good place to start to kind of try to understand that when you see people, like when you see these people in front of the cameras, athletes, political leaders, there's so much more. They're much more complicated than meets the eye. And if someone does one thing, it doesn't mean that they're good and bad. I think there's lots of space for the grayness. But I would definitely recommend this. And if people want to find out more, I will always go back to the autobiography of Malcolm X with Alex Haley. And I think you mentioned the movies, the biopics. Is that what they're called? Biopics?
Yes, biopics.
Like with Denzel Washington and Will Smith for both men. I think those are really great places to start as well.
Well, I would definitely echo that. And I would also just say that if anyone wants to learn more about Malcolm X or Muhammad Ali, I'll just give a few suggestions. I already mentioned Who Killed Malcolm X on Netflix. I think people should absolutely read Manning Marable's Malcolm X, A Life of Reinvention. I read that years ago, and it's just a very detailed biography of Malcolm X that really answers some interesting questions about him and his life that aren't really answered in the biography or in the film that Spike Lee did. But both of those are excellent, so you should definitely check those out. And with Muhammad Ali, The Thrill in Manila is a phenomenal documentary that shows his rivalry with Joe Frazier. And the documentary When We Were Kings is an astonishing look at that fight he had with George Foreman in Zaire. And yeah, you'll just learn so much from watching any documentary or reading any book about either men. They're just both very fascinating figures. So thank you, Nam, for picking this doc. I think it was really great about it.
No problem. I had a great time. And I just want to add, because it's always important to get the right quotes. I just looked it up. The quote that I mentioned about Malcolm X being tenderhearted in the film is actually Cornel West. And he quotes, he says, James Baldwin said this of Malcolm X, that he was the most gentle and tender man I ever met. So
good stuff. And that's the podcast. You can watch Blood Brothers, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali on Netflix. We'll leave a bunch of book and documentary recommendations in the show notes of this episode, so check those out.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend about us. It helps new listeners to find the show.
And if you want to get in touch, you can follow me on Twitter at ColinEllis81.
And you can follow me at Namshine.
Thanks to producer and editor Matthew O'Mara, senior producer Katie O'Connor, production support coordinators Nikki Ashworth and Jonathan Halliwell, and executive producer Laurie Few.
We'll catch you at the next screening.